Did everybody get a coin when you came in? Everybody got a 5-centavo coin. That's part of, if you didn't, who didn't get one? Assistants, make sure get some coins out here. Mano, Mrs. Kwan, do we have the coins? The bucket of coins. Where'd the bucket, who has the bucket of, everybody have some? Nitin, you have a coin? You do? Okay, well, you didn't hold it up, so I'm wondering now, okay? All right, good. We're going to use this as a little object lesson as we learn three things from the Bible verses today. And when we think of generosity, we don't always think about being generous with something as simple as a 5-centavo coin. Now, I'm a communication professor. I don't really do math real well, okay? Math and I are only passing acquaintances. Hi, Math. Hi, Dan. Now, my sister is a math professor, so we couldn't be more different. But I was checking to see, I think the rate is about, it's a little more than 50 pesos to the dollar right now. And it's 100 centavos to the peso. So if I did the math right, this is about 1/20th of a USA penny. Now, a penny is the smallest denomination of USA money, and it takes 20 of these to make one penny. Is that about right? I see a couple of you nodding. If my math is bad, correct me. But the point is, this really doesn't seem like a lot. And I don't know, do they even make new? I know they've made new coins this year in the Philippines. Have they made new 5-centavo coins? No? Because normally they just round everything out to the nearest 25 centavos because there's so little value in it. And when you look at something like this, it's almost more useful as a washer if you're fixing something. See the hole in it? A washer. And I've seen people make these into necklaces and charms on jewelry because of the hole in them. And it really doesn't seem like a lot. And that's what we're going to talk about today, about how God can take something so small as a 5-centavo coin and do some amazing things with it. The three lessons we're going to learn today is about generosity, blessing, and return. So let's start with a lesson about generosity. Really, the story starts with Jesus being generous. Generous with his time and his attention. If we flip back in chapter 14 to the first few verses, we'll see that it's the story of the death of John the Baptist. And remember, John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin. They were 3 months apart. They knew each other. We don't know how close they were, but I imagine, knowing what I know about families in that culture in that day, that they had some interaction with each other. And it's clear that Jesus was grieving the loss of his friend, his cousin. And he wanted to get away just to be alone with his grief for a few minutes. But the scripture says when he got there and he saw all the crowds, that he had compassion on them. So he was generous. He didn't say, no, go away. I need to be alone. I'm mourning right now. He said, no, come here. Let me help you. And so he went out amongst them. And he started healing their sick, ministering to them. But it got rather late in the day. Now, let's do the math again. 5,000 men plus women and children. So let's say 5,000 women, that's 10,000. Let's add 5,000 children. If every couple had average of one child, that's what, 15,000 people. So how many people do you think are here right now? About 100? Maybe? Okay. So Jesus is busy and Jesus is ministering. Now, pastors, some of you are active pastors who have been pastors, and you know how nice it is to have someone in your church that pays attention to the details. Now, I don't know what kind of minister Jesus would have made if he'd had a regular church. He was just, you know, an itinerant evangelist, really. But the apostles took care of the details. We see that so often in Scripture. They went into town and got the donkey for him to ride on. They went in and prepared the Passover feast. So he's busy talking to people and socializing. Hey, what's happening, man? Hey, Christian, you're a Christian. See, if you weren't a Christian, that would really confuse me. This is my friend Christian. He's a Muslim. Wait, no. Sorry, I digress. My class calls that going off on a tangent. Get it? Not a tangent. Okay, there's no money-back guarantee on the humor. The apostles were the detail people, and they came to him and they said, Jesus, everybody's hungry. It's late at night. They've been here all day. you know, let them go so they can go to the towns and villages and get something to eat. Now, they were getting kind of nervous because I don't know about you, but when I get hungry, I get grumpy, cranky, right? There's a series of American ads for Snickers that says, you're not yourself when you're hungry. And I get when I'm hungry. And, you know, they're looking out. Here's 15,000 people and no food, and they're going to get ugly. This is a mob, all right? So they're looking out at all these people, and they say, Jesus, you know, let them go. So they can, and then he says something very confusing. He says, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. And they're going, what? I think they laughed, okay? I think they thought Jesus was being funny. Okay, 15,000 people, they say, Jesus, let them go buy some food. And he says, they don't need to go anywhere. You give them something to eat. And they go, Jesus, you're so funny. No, really, let them go. No, really, you give them something to eat. And they're going around, what? 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 Now, one of the Gospels tells us that they found a little child. And we have a couple little kids back here. Hi, kids. So imagine this dear, sweet little boy. What's his name? Daniel? Oh, I can remember that. Imagine a little guy like Daniel who came from his mom, his wonderful mother, packed him a lunch. One of the Gospels says they found a boy, and he had five loaves of bread and two fish. Now, this isn't the nice, fluffy gardenia bread that we get, right, at SM Thai Thai. This isn't nice, fluffy, and cut into slices that we can put in the toaster. This bread is like pita bread or some kind of Mediterranean bread that was hard, and it was meant to take on a journey with you. I mean, it started out stale and only got worse. And the fish were not nice, big pieces like we get in the dining hall. They were probably dried fish. Now, Filipinos, I've seen in the markets that they actually sell dried fish. Now, do you really eat those? Yes? Okay, I'm fine. You're welcome to it. I have at it. I walk by them and go, ew. Those are interesting. And in USA, we have restaurants, and they will have like farm-raised catfish. And they will have big, thick pieces of white fish that are flaky and tender. And this wasn't that at all. This was dried fish. This is a meal that the wonderful mother had packed for her little boy to take with him to go see Jesus. But you notice this is our second point of generosity. The little boy, the apostles, gave Jesus absolutely everything that they have. Do you notice that? They held nothing back. They said, look, Jesus, all I got is this 5 centavo coin. It really isn't worth a lot. But you know what, Jesus? I don't know what in the world you're ever going to do with this, but I'm going to give it to you anyway, because that's all I got. And we see that several times in Scripture. We see the story of the widow's mite. We see the stories like that. And even in my own life, let me just tell you a little bit about my story. You know, as a young boy, I loved missions. I was always that little kid. Missionaries, when you give your talks, isn't there usually one little kid who sits right down in front who just hangs on every word? And I just loved the slides, and I'd go back and stand at the table and look at all. I just loved missions. I wanted to be a missionary. I said, God, please call me to be a missionary. Well, when I was at school at Olivet Nazarene University, he called me into Christian higher education. I went, oh, God, I don't want to be a professor. I want to be a missionary. And he said, no, I want you to be a professor. So, I went through 135 years in graduate school. It felt like 100. It wasn't 20 years. So people get here and out in two. That's great. But I loved missions. But he called me into Christian higher education. And that's what I did. I went to Olivet, got a bachelor's degree, double major in communication and psychology, went to University of Dayton, which is a Catholic school, got a master's degree in communication, went to Ohio State University, got a PhD. Now, listen, this is what my PhD is in. Rhetorical theory and criticism with a focus on the history of American public address. You can be impressed. Okay, that's impressive. Okay, impressive, but it's very specialized. And the thing about graduate degrees is the further you go, the more specialized you are. And so that is such a really narrow, narrow specialization. There probably aren't a dozen schools in the U.S. that have programs in History of American Public Address that I could even teach there. But you know what? I said, God, I don't know what you want me to do with this, but you've called me to Christian higher education, I'm going to teach. That's what I'm going to do. So the year after I got my PhD, I went into Dr. Fairbanks' office, who had been president here, and said, Dr. Fairbanks, you know, I've always loved missions. I've always wanted to be a missionary. God called me into Christian higher education. Oh, well, that's his business. Take my 5 centavo coin. I don't care. And I said, but I want to take a sabbatical and spend a semester teaching overseas with my whole family. And he said, well, you need to go to APNTS because they have a Master of Arts in Christian Communication and they can use you. So I came here for a semester, taught for a semester, and Dr. Floyd said, well, Dan, can you come back as an adjunct and teach some more classes for us? And that was in 1999, 20 years ago.
Oh, I'm so old. I'm an old man.
I taught acting too, can you tell? Bad acting. So for about 20 years, I'd come here every other summer or so, just about every other summer, and teach. And then in 2015, Coralie and I came here as regular faculty. But it's just amazing to me that I didn't think that was much to offer. What a specialized degree. What a limited use that should be in the kingdom of God. I mean, I can't imagine how God could use that, but you know what? God could imagine how he could use that. God could imagine he had just the right place where he needed someone with my skill and my talent to serve him on the mission field. Glory, hallelujah. I finally get to be a missionary. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? He took my little 5 centavo coin and blessed it. Well, here's just the interesting little tidbit. Before I even knew I was going to come to Manila, I was working on my dissertation. And I decided that for my dissertation, I would study the debates in America over annexation of the Philippines, 1898 to 1900. So I corresponded with a Filipino-American professor on the history of the Philippines and the history of that time period. I studied the Philippine War of Insurrection. I studied Filipino history and culture. Year later, here I am in the Philippines. Isn't it funny how God knows, just like he knew that's all there was going to be that day. He knew we were only going to have 5 loaves and 2 fish. But that's my story. What is your story? What is your 5 centavo coin? I mean, what are the gifts that you bring that you're sitting here with this morning in chapel? What do you have to offer? And I don't know, it may not seem like a lot to you, especially when you look at the Asia Pacific region. What is it? What is it? What's the statistic about how many people are in this region? Like 1/3 of the population of the planet is just in Asia Pacific region alone. Isn't that and here we are, 100 and some people studying at APNTS, and we've got a couple billion people to win to the Lord. That sounds like a pretty daunting task, doesn't it? And you think, oh God, I'm sitting here with my little 5 centavo coin, and I've got to buy dinner for 1/3 of the world's population. But you know what? You're not in this alone. I'm not in this alone. My little gift of teaching, of communication, I've made an offering of that. Make an offering of whatever you have. May not seem like a lot. I'm thankful for Lorraine. I'm going to call out Lorraine today. Wasn't that a cool video she did for the ad for the play? And let me just point out, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, if you want to be in a play or a skit, that's what we're doing tomorrow night. So I have some scripts. If you want to be in a little short play, a little comedy skit, show up tomorrow night at 7, and I'll have some skits for us to work with. So if we have 5 or 6 people, maybe more, that would be fun. But everyone should be practicing right now your acts for APNTS has got talent. All right, so Myanmar people, I know you can dance. I saw it. Okay, so you need to be getting something together, something from your culture. I know a lot of you are really good singers. Be ready to sing, okay? That's going to be great fun. But isn't it wonderful that she has that talent, that she could make that really cool video for us? All of us have something that may seem like 5 centavos. But then we give it to Jesus, and point 2, he blesses it. He blesses it, the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Well, I've often wondered why this is the only miracle in all the Bible that is in all four Gospels. Have you wondered that? What was so impressive that all of the Gospel writers included this in their narratives, even John? Well, I have a theory. And let's act this out so you get the feel for this. So picture this. The 12 guys come to Jesus, and he pulls them aside, and he has everybody else sit down in circles. So you're all the people. You're sitting down in circles of maybe 50 each. So he brings the apostles aside, and he says, all right, give me your lunch. Okay, all right. And he's got 5 loaves, 2 fish, and he prays this prayer of blessing over them. And then he says, okay, I'm going to give this to you, and I want you guys to share it with the people. So he starts breaking it in half and passing it out. So, ma'am, Sherry, you're Peter. So he takes half a piece of bread and half a piece of fish and gives it to you. Here's John, half a piece of bread, half a piece of fish. Andrew, half a piece of bread, half a piece of fish. James, the lesser, Jacob, here's you. And, all right, and he goes through all 12 of them, all right, and they're doing the math, okay? They know they had 5 loaves to start with and 2 fish, and so he's broken it in half 11 times. Now, how do you break 5 loaves in half 11 times? So he goes through all 11, and he gets to the last one. Pastor Pia, you're Bartholomew, okay? Yeah. Oh, I'm Bartholomew. I am only mentioned once in all of Scripture. I mean, we don't know anything about it. His name shows up once. So, Bartholomew, you've been sitting here, and you've seen Jesus break this bread and fish in half 11 times. Now, human thinking as a human, what do you think Jesus has left for you, the 12th apostle? Nothing, right? Isn't that what our natural reaction is going to be? Well, Jesus, you've broken 5 pieces of bread in half 11 times. You've broken 2 fish in half 11 times. I didn't do math, but that don't make no sense at all. That's crazy math. So poor Bartholomew was thinking, I'm going to get nothing. But Jesus didn't see just 5 loaves and 2 fish. He didn't see just a little 5 centavo coin. He didn't see a very specific graduate degree that is almost useless in most contexts. He didn't see Bartholomew as the apostle whose name is only mentioned once in Scripture. You know what he had for Bartholomew? Half a piece of bread and half a piece of fish. Now, just imagine what Bartholomew was thinking at that point. Uh-oh, something funny is going on here. Now, this is the fun about missions, ladies and gentlemen. When he said, you give them something to eat, he meant it literally for every person sitting in this chapel today. He has called you to APNTS because you are going out there and to spiritually feed the world. And it's intimidating to look at that big crowd. You don't think Bartholomew was intimidated by that big crowd? All right, let's do the math. 12 apostles, 15,000 people. What is that? A little more than 1,100 per person? So here's Bartholomew with his half a piece of bread and half a piece of fish, and Jesus says, go feed those 1,100 people. But he did it. Just imagine, Pastor, what do you think Bartholomew was thinking as he started the first group of 50? And every time he broke that piece of bread in half, there was more bread to break. What do you think he was thinking, Pastor? Miracle. This is crazy. And he just, wow. And you know what? Every single one of the 12 apostles was doing that. Here's John. Here's Peter. Here's Andrew. Here's James the elder. James the lesser. Breaking off the fish over and over. 50 times, 100 times, 1,000 times, 1,100 times. They broke that piece of bread in half. They broke that piece of fish in half. 1,100 times. And they still had some in their hand when they were left over. I think that's why it's in every gospel, because it was a miracle that the apostles did themselves. Jesus, what's Jesus doing the whole time? You know, he's over here on his cell phone, you know, playing Legion or something. No, they didn't have cell phones back then. You know, he's over there drawing in the dirt. He liked to do that from what I hear. And he's just, all he did was say a prayer, hand it out, and he steps back, and this is a miracle that they held in your hands. And ladies and gentlemen, your mission work, your work in your countries, your work while you're here, after you leave here, that is the miracle that you are holding in your hands. You are doing the miracle. This mission work is a miracle that you do yourself, with the blessing of Jesus, with your little 5 centavo coin. Well, back to my story. Communication is an important skill. And before I even got here, it was the Board of Trustees, the faculty, I don't know, Dick, who voted to have communication and education and ministry be the only required course. Well, if you think about it, okay, all this theological education is wonderful, it's great, it's important. We're equipping you to spread the gospel, but having the ability to communicate it effectively makes it even better. Makes it even better. Makes it even more useful. So God will bless whatever you have. God will multiply it. Even if you think, oh God, I've just got a little 5 centavo coin. I'm going back to China with 1/4 of the world's population. How can I possibly have an impact then? I'm going back to Myanmar with so many Buddhists and persecution against Christians. I'm the only Vietnamese student here, and I'm going back to Vietnam to minister, to teach. What can I do, God, in that whole country? But you know what? You don't worry about that. You just give everything you have to God and let him bless it, and he'll take care of the rest. He'll take care of the rest. Last point, the return. This is where it gets kind of fun. So I don't know how environmentally conscious Jesus was, but it seems he didn't want to leave a mess behind. And I don't know if you've been here during the Al Ilakad, but after, you know, a million people march past here, there's a lot of trash left over. Have you noticed that the next day? That where people gather, there's trash. Well, I don't know if it was true in Jesus' day, but he didn't want them to leave a mess behind. So he says to John and to Peter and to Andrew and to James and to Bartholomew, he says, all right, guys, here's a basket. I don't know where he got the baskets. I never thought about that. Well, anyway, somebody had baskets, okay? He had one. He multiplied it. And he gives each of them a basket, and he says, go around to your 1,100 people and pick up all the scraps that they didn't eat. And so here's poor Bartholomew, the last apostle. He takes his basket, and he starts going around to all these people, and they start putting in their leftovers. And putting in their leftovers, and putting in their leftovers, and he winds up with a basket full of food. Now, do the math. How many basketfuls? How many apostles? What did each one go home with? A basket full of food. They started with half a piece of bread and half a fish, and they wound up with a basket full of food. And again, that's what we're about here at APNTS. That's what's going to happen to you when you get out there and you do your ministry. You'd be surprised. I'm amazed at what God can do with my one little class in communication, with my few communication majors. It's amazing to have been here for 20 years and see that graduates of APNTS are now our district superintendents all over the Asia-Pacific region, that are pastoring major churches, that are winning thousands of people to the Lord. And I hope that one class that they had with me was a little 5 centavo coin that God used to bless their ministry. And that's what happens. God does math that we don't even understand. I don't understand how the math worked here, but he did. And now sometimes I could say it's kind of literal. I always say, you've heard me say this if you've had my class, I always learn more than I teach. I learn so much from my students. I learn to say hello in so many different languages. Magandang umaga, mingalaba, xin chào, ni hao. Who am I missing that's here today? Annyeonghaseyo. Annyeonghaseyo, Pastor Lee. Pastor Lee is my favorite student because he is my age. buenos tardes, buenos noches. What is morning? Buenos dias. Oh, buenos dias. Oh, qué cosa. Oh, tengo un año de clase español en la universidad, pero no recuerdo mucho. I learned how to say hello in a lot of language. That got me into trouble one time. I went into a Chinese restaurant and said, ni hao, and they thought, oh, this man can speak Chinese. So they started speaking to me in Chinese. And I'm going, I know one word. That is my only word I know. But they were still kind of impressed. The exchange rate is very favorable. So my family has quite a few Filipino trinkets and souvenirs. Our house is full of Filipino artwork and carvings, and my granddaughters Last year, they had some beautiful silk Ao Yai from Vietnam that I bought while I was there. I have pictures I should show you so you can see. They're just adorable. They wore them to my father's funeral. It was so nice to see them in their beautiful, beautiful Vietnamese dresses. But I always take more back with me than I bring because I love that. But even Coralie, she's not here. Remember her in prayer. She will have surgery the 19th at 1 a.m. in the morning our time, noon USA time. So it's outpatient surgery. Her outlook is very good, but please remember her and our family in prayer tonight when she goes through that. But she likes to tell the story of how she came here and found that living across from the boys' dorm, we realized that some of the guys don't always have enough money for food. And some of you, you know, really have expended a lot of resources to get here. You get here and all you got is a 5 centavo coin. And so she was telling the story about some of the sacrifices, the generosity of the students that come here. Some of you come here for a year or 2 years and don't get to go back to your home countries to see your family. I don't know how you do that. That's amazing. That's so generous of you. And she was telling the story of what our students sacrifice, and a couple people at a church in Michigan came up to her and gave her some money, some American money, and said, please buy some food for these students. She said, okay. And the more she told that story, the more money people gave her to buy food. So we arrived here last year, and she was thinking, well, you know, let me ask around. And she found out she could use that about $100 American to buy lunch for everyone in the dining hall for one meal. And she said, well, that doesn't sound very good. So we talked about it. And she got this idea of getting 2 kilos of rice for every on-campus student. And some of you who live on campus now know that we do that. In fact, we're going to do that this Friday, SBO Friday. We need to meet to do that. SBO. Okay. We've even got our own website now so people can donate online. And isn't that a wonderful ministry? What a practical thing. But you see, God took Coralie's care and concern and love for the students and has multiplied that and blessed that. Wow. Praise God. And I know some of you use that in your own ministries. But it's just amazing what little tiny thing, a few $20 bills pressed into Coralie's hand, turned out to be 2 kilos of rice for every student on campus. It's amazing. When you leave here, you will reap the return. You will see how God can do these amazing things. God can do amazing things. I have 5 minutes. I have time for one more story. All right, which story do you want? Alabaster story or story of Pastor B from Vietnam? Both. Oh, you people, I'm going to go a little bit after 12. All right. First of all, the alabaster stories from right here in the Philippines. First year we were here, my wife and I went on a little tour of area churches with Dr. Nielsen, and he took us to Teresa Church of the Nazarene. Of course, this was 20 years ago, and we met the pastor, and the pastor was so happy. He was so happy for alabaster money because they had used alabaster money to make a parsonage. Well, the parsonage was pieces of plywood in the back of the sanctuary with a curtain in front of it, but it had running water and a toilet, and he was very pleased. And they had a concrete floor. It had been poured at several different times as they got the alabaster money, but they had a concrete floor, and they had a roof. You could see where the first roof had been torn off by a hurricane, and now they had a nice tin corrugated steel roof. Imagine pastors preaching in the rain with a corrugated steel roof. No, don't. It'd be give you nightmares. And they had hymn books. They weren't nice hymn books like this. They were from the 1920s in the USA, and they had no covers on them. And they had hymn books. And he was so proud. We have a roof now. We have a concrete floor. I have a parsonage. We have hymnals. We are so very blessed. And I'm looking around going, this is a 5 centavo coin church. But as we were leaving, Coralie tapped me on the shoulder and said, look at the altar. And there on the altar were the little alabaster boxes. The pastor was taking up an alabaster offering for churches less fortunate than his church. Isn't that wonderful, the generosity of people? All right, Pastor B. You know Pastor B. Okay. Pastor B is from a very northern province in Vietnam. And Pastor B has suffered enormous persecution, physical beatings. He was beaten so badly one time his own wife couldn't recognize him. His face was so swollen. He holds out his arm and there's chunks out of his arm where he'd been knifed for being a Christian. What a terrible persecution that Pastor B has gone through. But he was the first person to bring the gospel back to his village, the first Nazarene, and he won his whole village to the Lord. And he met a woman and married her, and her family said, well, if you come to our village and preach the gospel, we will give you some land to build a house. So they did, and that village, though, persecuted him. They would come out at night and throw rocks at their home. Well, eventually, he won that entire village to the Lord. Well, one night, he was riding in motorcycles back with the missionaries, Roland and Linda. And Vietnam was a communist country, it still is, and they have 100% tax on cars. So I was told there's a lot of motorcycles there, but I didn't know there were 100 motorcycles for every car. And so they go. So the three of them are on their motorcycles going up to visit B's church in their home province. Well, when they get into the village limit, the communist police detain them. So do you know what I mean by detain? Do you see the air quotes? They pulled Pastor B aside and began to interrogate him. And the missionaries were sitting out in the outer office, but they could understand everything because they spoke Vietnamese. And the officers were grilling him. We call it the third degree. They were just pounding on him. Oh, B, we know you are here to stir up trouble. We know you are doing evil things. We know you're turning people against the government. And he says, no, sir. All I am doing is try to teach people that Jesus loves you and you can love each other. And that's his message. Jesus loves you and you can love each other. And that went on and on for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 o'clock in the morning. Finally, about 4 o'clock in the morning, it got real quiet. And Pastor B said to the interrogators, he said, well, okay, let me call my family so they can bring me some clothes and a toothbrush and let my Western friends go. They've done nothing. And there was a silence, and then the interrogator said, why would we do that? We don't want you here. You've done nothing. Get out of here. And they let him go. 4 hours they interrogated him, and they let him go. What doesn't end there? The three of them are leaving the police station, and they hear this roar. And they look over where the sound is coming from, and they see this light getting brighter and brighter, and the sound is getting louder and louder, and something loud and bright is getting closer and closer and closer, and suddenly, over the crest of the hill is a wave of men on motorcycles. Another wave and another wave. 200 men on motorcycles arrived at that police station. They were all the Christians and Nazarenes from those two villages that were there to secure the release of their pastor. You know this story? Okay, am I telling it okay? They were there to gain the life of their pastor. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that just amazing what God can do with just, what a simple message. And that's what impressed me about Pastor B. God loves you and you can love each other. That's a 5 centavo message. Okay, you don't need a PhD in theology to preach that message. It's so simple, but it's so true, and it's so powerful. So there, you got two stories. It's right up noon, so I'm not doing too bad. But let me ask you a couple questions. I don't know what you came here to APNTS with. I don't know what your gifts are. I've seen some of you do amazing things. I've worked with some of you. Some of you, like Jin Jun, have a gift for leadership and organization. I've already mentioned Lorraine has a wonderful gift for graphic design. And some of you have gifts for preaching. I've heard you preach in chapel or in I know some of you go out and minister amongst the poor in Rowenas. And you all have some kind of gift, and that's an offering. And when you give absolutely everything you have to Jesus, freely and unconditionally, that's when he blesses. And I guarantee you, you'll get basketfuls back. All right, maybe it's bread and dried fish, but anyway, it'll be good. So you might start with a 5 centavo coin, but you leave with a bag. I gave Cesar a couple 100 pesos, and I said, I want some 5 centavo coins to give out when I speak in USA. He brought me 50 pounds. 50 pounds of 5-centavo coins. But God can bless something as small as loaves and fish. He can bless something as small as this coin. We're going to have a song and an opportunity to pray in a few minutes. And let me just suggest that if you want to take a moment and just pray at this wonderful new altar and just make sure you have given God everything, that you've given him your 5-centavo coin. In fact, bring that with you and just set it right here as a symbol that, God, I'm giving you what little I have. I'm giving you my degree in rhetorical theory and criticism with a focus on the history of American public address. It's all one word. I'm giving it to you. Now, we're going to sing a hymn too, but I want to share the words of the hymn with you right now, and we were playing it earlier. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials his multiplied peace. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, and don't we feel like that sometimes even while we're here? When our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. His love has no limit. His power has no measure. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth and giveth again. Thank you. I'll turn it over to our worship leaders.